Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher has the day off, but we are here live to address your questions and real-life issues as we are each day by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, why, we encourage you to call right now. The lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned and take part. Learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Well, everybody, hope you and your family and friends had a wonderful Christmas celebration. And Mr. Piper, I trust that that is true of you and your family as well.
We absolutely did have a great Christmas. We love to spread it out as much as we can. So we celebrated Christmas on Monday night with our daughter and her husband and our two granddaughters. And then on Tuesday, we went to a church service, a Christmas Eve church service, with my daughter and her family. And then Lois's dad, Chuck, came in Tuesday night. So that was a celebration. And we did some more celebrating yesterday.
Just
make it last as long as possible. And it was all really good. It was fun stuff. My youngest granddaughter, Naomi, is old enough this year to appreciate Christmas. So it was just a kick watching her rip into things. Last year she was just ignoring all of that, but this year she was into it big time.
I saw some of that myself.
Yeah, the hard part for me this year is this is the very first Christmas ever in the history of ever that Lois and I haven't had a chance to spend it with Kevin, our son, and his wife Ashley. And they live in Minneapolis, and
they have white Christmas.
They had a white Christmas. He was digging his car out of the snow yesterday, but we miss seeing them. But we talk to them, and we know they're doing well, they're getting ready to have a baby here in the next 6 months or so.
Congratulations to them and to you,
Lois. Absolutely, we're so excited, and so overall, it was a great Christmas. And I truly hope that those of you who are listening got a chance to just spend time with the family, get away from the hustle and bustle, and get away from all of the noise, and just spend some time together. Hopefully your family, even if it's not a perfect family, and who has a perfect family, just be quiet for long enough to appreciate each other and appreciate this gift of Jesus. And what it means to us.
I'll say. Well, the phone lines are wide open. If you have something special you'd like to share and be a part of the conversation, you can do that at 1-800-677-9377. The lines are indeed wide open right now. We want to hear from you if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, or, as I said, something special that may have happened during your Christmas celebration. We'd like to hear from you and hear about it. So give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. I spent the Christmas holiday with my younger daughter, Rhonda, and her family, and it was very, very heartwarming to me. It was more than heartwarming. It's a thrill to me when the little guys and girls, they know who Jesus is. And my little five-year-old granddaughter, Morgan Diane, who's, by the way, named after my late wife, you're talking about ripping and forth into presents. She has it down to an art form. Yeah. But anyway, I whispered to her at one point, so, Morgan, tell me, whose birthday is this? Is this your birthday? No. Well, whose birthday are we celebrating? I'm not going to tell you. She teased me for a little while. Later, I asked her again, Morgan, whose birthday is this? And she whispered in my ear, Jesus. So what a thrill it is to know that she knows the name above all names, and we couldn't be, or I couldn't be more thrilled that every member of my family knows who the Lord Jesus is. And so what a privilege it has been, and what a blessing it is. Well, looks like we have a phone call coming in, Richard. So, Michelle, if we can go ahead and go to and talk with Peter, who's listening in Rhode Island on WARV, why, that would be a very, very good thing. So, Peter, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. How could we help you today?
Good. I hope you had a great Christmas.
Oh, yes.
I appreciate your program. It's a very blessing to me. I listen to you every day on the way home from work.
Well, thank you so much.
My question today is, I've run into this situation many times, and I'm sure there's other Christians. I am a Christian, by the way. I'm a born-again believer, got saved about 14 years ago. And I've run into a situation where sometimes I have to attend, like, a funeral service or what they often call visiting hours or calling hours, where you go with someone that you know that passed away, and you go to pay your respects to the the family and so forth. And oftentimes, that person that passed away is not a believer. And you know that just because you know them. And maybe it's just an acquaintance or a neighbor or coworker or someone you happen to know. But you've known them long enough, you know they're not a believer. And the dilemma I face oftentimes is that when you're confronted by their other family members, what do you say to them to comfort them? Most people that are not believers would say, "Oh, you know, they're in a better place now, or they're in heaven now." And yet, as a believer, and we believe in the scriptures, we know that that's not the case. And what do you say to the family members to comfort them? And what do you say to them when those family members or their friends or whatever, talking about the deceased person, say, "Well, at least they're in a better place now. At least they're not suffering with the cancer or with whatever the case may be." I just don't know how to handle a situation like that and what to say, because, the truth is, you want to say, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I don't believe that person is in heaven right now, and yet it doesn't seem like it's appropriate time or place to say that. And I just don't know. I don't know how to react in those situations. I wonder if you could give us your insight.
It's an important question.
It is an important question, and it's a tough question, because I think every one of us has faced that many times. I mean, myself, when I was brand new in the ministry for the first time, I was 6 weeks out of school, 5 weeks out of school, and our church was across the street from a mortuary, and we got a phone call that someone had died and the family didn't have a pastor, and that would somebody come over and do the funeral. And I was the new kid on the block, and so it fell to me to go say something positive to a family who had no hope. And I was lost, man. I had no words to say, and I should have been the last person to be sent. Here I was 23, 24 years old, and yeah, I didn't have enough life experience to deal with this at all. So I understand the problem that you're describing. I think what you do, first of all, is try not to figure it out. That is, don't sit there and think, okay, what do I need to say now? Because that puts the focus on you. Rather, I'd start with, okay, Lord, here I am. I did respect this person. They were a friend of mine or a coworker, and I respect their family, and I want to be there for them. Please give me the right words to say. And then walk off in faith and do what the Lord gives you to do. You're right that it's not the point in time. It's not the right spot to say, well, by the way, your friend is lost. Or your son is lost, or your daughter, or something like that. It doesn't gain anything. So instead, love the family as much as you can. If you have a chance to point them to truth, to Jesus, then do so. Because many times at a point of grief like this, people are open to the idea of Jesus, because they realize that apart from Jesus, life is pretty meaningless. And there's nothing quite like death, whether it was death after a long illness or a sudden death like an accident. But there's nothing like death to get people to thinking about the meaninglessness of life apart from something greater than themselves. And we as believers get a chance to say, well, Jesus is that one. We don't have to get into a lot of theological discussion. It really is just introducing someone to Jesus. I know what you're going through. I've had family members die. I'll tell you one of the things that has helped me get through this, and that's my relationship with Jesus Christ. It's non-judgmental. It's open-ended, so they can go with it if they want to, or they can just look at you and say, well, thank you, and that's the end of it. In no situation do you want to act as if you're on the judge and jury committee, because none of us are on that committee. God knows that person's heart. God knows what they, if they belong to him or not. And we can leave that decision in his hands. And that takes a lot of the pressure off of us as the people who are left. We don't have to worry about that person's salvation. At this point, the die has been cast. The cement has set, so to speak, when someone has died. But with the people who survive, that's where we can come alongside of them and love them with the love of God. Let the Holy Spirit lead you as you're in relationship. It may be that at the funeral or the viewing or whatever the that specific context is, that's not the time to talk about Jesus, but you might be able to, you know, strengthen the relationship a little bit. So maybe later on you can take them to lunch or stop by a couple of days later just to see how they're doing and you know, be in relationship. That's the key part of sharing the gospel with people, is to be in relationship with them first. We don't need to have, you know, drive-by evangelism where, you know, here I see you for 2 minutes and I haven't seen you in the last 8 years, but here's Jesus and then we're gone. That doesn't work. Being in relationship with someone, knowing, you know, their pains, their sorrows, their successes, their joys, and they knowing yours, that's when you can have meaningful conversations about who Jesus is and what he offers, that the pressure of the moment doesn't make too difficult, because there is no moment at that point. There is just this relationship over time. And that doesn't mean you have to be best friends with somebody, but being in relationship means that you know them well enough to trust each other and to not be intimidated by each other's beliefs or lack thereof.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you that after someone passed away, they're survivors, they may be more open to the gospel, because that's exactly what happened when I got saved about 13, 14 years ago. My sister-in-law passed away, and I was not a believer at the time, although I kind of felt God working in my heart that I should do something. At that time, I was pretty darn ignorant and didn't know what I should do, but it was only a short time after that I started attending church, and a short time after that I ended up getting saved.
Yeah.
And it all started with the death of a very dear family member.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying. But, yeah, it, sometimes we think, well, it's never the wrong time to talk about Jesus, but maybe you're right, maybe this is the one exception.
Well, it's not the time to talk about Jesus in the sense that you need to decide now. You can always talk about Jesus. I mean, he is
right,
the least
right.
threatening being in the whole universe, even though he's the most powerful being in the whole universe.
Right.
But, letting him grow, because your responsibility isn't to save them. Your responsibility is to be a witness, and you can only be a witness if you belong to Jesus and have seen what he's done in your own life. The Holy
right.
Spirit is the one who convicts them and brings them to himself. And he gives us the chance to participate in that process, but we're not responsible for that process. So again, all of this is an attempt to take the pressure off. It's not like their blood is going to be on your hands if you don't share Jesus with them. That's not the way it works. And so just be in relationship. Let the Lord lead you. He will. Let him give you the words. He will. And, walk by faith and let the result stay with him.
Okay. Well, again, I thank you very much for your time.
What I'd like to do is send you this booklet we've been talking about all month, Forgiveness, the Door to Life, because quite often with people who have not come to Jesus yet, one of the reasons they haven't is because they think they've been too bad. Oh, yeah, when I get my life cleaned up, then I'll talk about Jesus. Well, that doesn't work. And this booklet may give you some good words, maybe something you can actually share with them down the road. Love to send it to you, our compliments, and appreciate your call.
So okay, just, I appreciate it.
Yeah, stay on the line, hold the line, and we'll get the information for you.
Thanks, Peter. Hope you keep listening and call again if you have further questions. Right now, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock again, 1-800-677-9377. And Richard, we'll let our listeners know that the little booklet you're talking about, it's kind of a small booklet, but it is well done.
Yes.
It's called Forgiveness, the Door to Life, and it's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828 to speak to our operator. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828, or you can visit us online at basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. And my friend, we are down to crunch time on meeting the budgetary needs of the ministry between now and midnight the 31st.
Yes, and it's one of the most worthwhile things any of us can do is to support the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not here to do this for us. We do what we do here at Basic Gospel because we're compelled to do it by the love of Jesus Christ. We can't not do this. people, I lead the band at our church, Metro Bible Fellowship, and people ask me, how is it that you do music? And I say, how could I not do music?
Yeah.
it just pours out of me. It's the same thing with sharing the gospel. When Jesus gets a hold of you and has changed your life in a way that is so meaningful and so real, there's nothing better than sharing that with other people. And it doesn't have to be a big theological thing. It doesn't have to be fancy. It's just, Jesus did this for me. And he can do similar things for you. The fact that we do this on the radio is an incredible blessing to us because of the opportunity that we've been given. But it leverages our few words across thousands and thousands of people.
Right.
It's a very efficient way to share the gospel. And as those of you who are listening know, when you're listening to these phone calls, this is just two people talking. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't really think about being on radio while we're answering the phone call.
Yeah.
It's just relating with someone, pointing them to Jesus, helping them answer a Bible question or a relationship issue or whatever. And it is really worthwhile to support this because we know that we're having an impact in people's lives. Our broadcasts, the two of them, reach at least 150,000 people every day.
Right.
And we do that in 2 half-hour broadcasts, and different than commercial radio, there are no advertisements paying for the time.
Right.
We pay for the time, and so we have to pay those bills. The radio stations are kind enough to give us time to let us be on their stations and to reach the people we reach, and we are responsible, and we absolutely take this as the most serious thing we do, is we pay for that time.
Yes.
And we have always paid for that time. There are, unfortunately, some organizations that haven't always done that. We're not one of them.
Right.
We spend this money wisely. We don't have a lot of overhead. We are very conservative with our finances, all in order to continue to share this gospel message. And we can't do it without you. And the fact is that hundreds of you every year partner with us to do this. And the conversations we have with people as a result of the gifts you give are your conversations with those people. And so what we need this year to close out this year is on the order of $240,000 between last week and the 31st. Now, things are happening that make that doable. We've gotten some big donations in. We're talking thousands of dollars of donations in. We've gotten some $5 donations in. Every one of those donations is meaningful.
Absolutely.
And we pray that you will ask God, how can you help us? We don't put guilt on you. What we offer is an opportunity to partner with us in the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing better. There's nothing more valuable. It's an investment that bears absolutely eternal benefits for those people who respond, and you can have a part of that.
Absolutely. What God does with this message as it goes out over the airwaves, that's his business, totally
his
business.
Business.
But, you know, it is such a gratifying thing to those of us on staff to hear from people literally around the world whose lives have been impacted by the message they heard through the ministry that God has given us.
Yes.
So it is a privilege, it's an honor, and we say thank you eternally to our great God and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing us to proclaim him over these airwaves.
And it's important, you have to, in order to, you know, the whole tax thing, in order to be able to deduct your donation, it's got to be postmarked by the 31st.
Right.
And so that's what we ask you to do.
Yeah,
and
stand with us.
And just stand with us, and again, ask God what he would have you do. It's not what you can't afford to do. It's what you can afford to do. It
right.
could be 50 cents. It could be $50,000. Whatever in between.
Yeah.
It's between you and God, and we just thank you in advance for what happens.
Prominent link where you can click the forgiveness, the door to life. That's, of course, yours for a gift of any amount at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our sweet operator, Billy, at 1-800-727-2828. 1-800-727-2828. Well, let's quickly swing down to Corpus Christi, Texas, and talk to Sam, listening at our longtime affiliate KCTA. Hi, Sam. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hello.
Hi there.
I was just calling to find out Where do you find the Bema Seat of Christ?
Okay, it's in 2 Corinthians. Did
Second
I guess right?
2 Corinthians.
5. Yes, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat. That word judgment seat there is the Bema Seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done well in the body, whether good or bad. That is a judgment of evaluation, and it's done with saved people. It's not done for lost people. Lost people get to face the white throne judgment, and that's not good at all.
How is this different from I have a bad cold. I'm trying to get over it, but how is this different from everything will be judged as hay, wood, silver, or gold?
Okay, that's a reference from 1 Corinthians, and I believe that those two things are very similar. When a saved person faces Jesus when they die or at the end of time, when he comes back, there will be things that saved people have done by faith through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Those things are gold and silver and precious stones because God has done them through us. There are going to be other things that we've done that we did in our own strength, not by faith. And those things are going to be wood, hay, and stubble, and they just go away. It means nothing to anyone. Except, you know, God can even do things with those activities to turn them to good. That's his business. But the only things we're going to be evaluated on as saved people are, was this work that you did done by faith in Jesus Christ as a result of the indwelling Holy Spirit changing our minds and renewing our minds and letting the love of God flow through us, or was it done on your own time, so to speak? That's an evaluation. And we'll praise him for both. We'll say, Lord, you know that I was doing that in my own strength. Thanks for pointing it out. And you'll also say things like, how did I know that what I did was by faith and it had that kind of impact? I just didn't realize it. Thank you. That's a completely different kind of conversation than the conversation for the lost, where people say, what have we done? And Jesus says, you don't believe in me, and we're done.
Well, Sam, hope that helps. Hope you keep listening and call us again if we can be of further help. Thanks to everybody for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Friends, as we approach year's end, as we were saying a few moments ago, we're literally down to crunch time. Crunch time to meet the needs of the gospel, meet the needs of Basic Gospel, budgeted through the end of this year, in order to keep this message of the love, the life, the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ coming to you every day. We love being here with you. We love telling of the fullness of God's love for each one of us, and we are privileged, as we said earlier, to proclaim him to you. If you agree that this message is vital to the body of Christ in your area, and if what you hear every day on this program is benefiting you, we need your help to keep the good news coming. We believe it's the most important message on the airwaves. That's why we are here every day, and I have to believe it's why you listen as often as you can. But as you well know, it requires financial resources to remain on the air. So the fact is, we need, as Richard said, something on the order of $240,000 by the end of this month. And we know that many of you can step up with a significant year-end gift to help meet that need. Whether it's $10, $100, $500, or $5,000 or more, every gift, no matter how large or how small, helps. We hope you'll join with us today. Whatever you can do, we need you to stand with us. Give what you can, and may God richly bless you and your gift to the proclamation of his love and grace through Basic Gospel. And as a reminder, the booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life, it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828. You can do that right now and speak with our operator, Billy. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net for the booklet Forgiveness, The Door to Life, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And while you're online, be sure to poke around. We have a full online store with many, many resources to aid your spiritual growth and maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's basicgospel.net. So now for Richard and for Bob Christopher and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.